Good afternoon again. I invite you to go in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. It is also printed in your bulletins. Also, you can find this in page 896 in your Bibles. It is printed in your bulletins. And I think that some of the bulletins also printed in Spanish will have it there as well. So we're reading John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. This is the word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we read today in the question that we study together, that you have sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts, that you have empowered us to be able to believe that this is a gift that comes from you, that you empower us to understand spiritual things, that as the blind man's eyes were open and he was able to see Jesus and then hear Jesus and then believe and then worship, we pray, Lord, that you will cause our hearts and our minds also to believe, to worship you. And we pray for anyone who still do not know Jesus as he is or her Savior, that you may reveal yourself, Lord Jesus, to them through the power of the Holy Spirit in this afternoon. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm aware that some of you are pretty regular here in the afternoon service, and some of you might watch online and are following the series that we are doing from the Gospel of John, but also that some of you are visiting us for the first time. Some of you are visiting us sometimes, therefore you are not always aware of all the things that we assume that you know. Therefore, I just wanted to start by just letting you where we are in this study from the Gospel of John. First of all, we're going through the Gospel of John, which is in our Bibles. Is one of the accounts of the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ until his resurrection. And we are going chapter by chapter, and we are trying to learn what's the main message, but also what are some of the things that Jesus teaches us through each one of the verses that we are studying together. And we are entering chapter 10, which means that we finish chapter 9. And so you know what happened in chapter 9. I want to let you know that because it is important for what we are reading today in chapter 10. Before we look at the four things that I would like to look at in these six verses, I would like us just to remember what's going on until this point. Jesus finds this man, blind man. He healed this man. And rather than celebrating Jesus' miracle in the life of this man, the religious leaders were upset about what Jesus did. and they were trying to find ways to discredit Jesus' miracle by asking questions to the man, by asking questions to the parents of the man, by asking questions again to the man, and all this to find out if the man wasn't actually blind from the beginning, or if Jesus did something that it was not as of someone that is coming from God. But all the answers that this man gave to the religious leaders were answers that were actually affirming Jesus and his role of healing the man, and as one who does things that no one has ever done, and as one who could not do these things if he was a sinner. So these things upset the religious leaders to the point that they expelled the man out of the synagogue. The synagogue would be like the church of Jesus' time. They expelled him out, so he wasn't supposed to be in fellowship with them. And it is at that moment when Jesus comes back to the man, and what he does is that he comes to complete the work in this man's life. He starts with giving him physical sight, but he knew that what was more important is that he will have the spiritual sight so that he will have eternal life. And there is where Jesus confronts the man or asks the man if he believed in the Son of Man, which is basically himself, Jesus. And the man was ready to believe, said, "Tell me who he is that I might believe." And Jesus said, I am the one you are hearing and you are seeing. I am the Son of Man. And then this man believed and worshiped Jesus. That's why we are here together this afternoon. I was about to say morning. This afternoon. It is because we have believed and we want to worship Jesus. And for some of you, it might be because you are trying to figure out who Jesus is, that maybe you might believe, and then maybe you might worship Jesus. And that's our prayer, that you might believe and worship Jesus. But in order to do that, you have to be able to see and hear Jesus. And that's only done through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we are. John finished that in chapter 9, that conversation between Jesus and the man, and also some words that he had for the religious leaders. And then right away, we jump into chapter 10, when Jesus is starting some, which we might think is new teaching, like he's starting a new topic. But that is what we want to figure out first. So there are four things that I'd like us to do together as we go through these verses. The first one is establishing the connection between chapter 9 and chapter 10. See if there is a connection and then establish that connection between chapter 9 and chapter 10. That miracle that Jesus did in chapter 9, what does that have to do with Jesus' teaching in chapter 10? The second one, understanding the sheepfold of Jesus' time. Jesus uses a metaphor that was pretty familiar for people at that time, but is not so familiar for us in our time. The third thing will be to understand the spiritual meaning of the metaphor. Who is who? What is what in the metaphor? And thus, to answer the question that people had that you see in verse 6, they couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. They could understand the metaphor in the sense of they could visualize what he was talking about, but they couldn't understand the spiritual meaning of the metaphor. And the last thing that I would like us to consider is what are some of the encouraging things that we learn from this metaphor today, you and I, as we read it together. So first of all, as we establish the connection between chapter 9 and chapter 10, Jesus starts, or John starts chapter 10 with Jesus' words, "Truly, truly, I say to you." That in itself gives us indication that there is a continuity between chapter 9 and chapter 10. Because anywhere else where you find truly, truly, I say to you, is Jesus standing on something that he has already said. So it would be not normal that this would be the beginning of Jesus speaking to a crowd about something that is completely new. So that is giving us right away in our minds some connection between chapter 10 and chapter 9. But what makes it even more clear is what we read in chapter 10, verses 19 through 21. You don't have it in the bulletins, but if you have your Bibles open, you can read it there that says this. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words, which is the Jesus teaching, I am the good shepherd, that metaphor. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, there are no words of one who is oppressed by a demon. These are no words, sorry, of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Right away, you can see there that the tension within the religious leaders is, what do we do with Jesus? And some of them believe that he was possessed by a demon or insane, but those who are defending Jesus are pointing to the fact that Jesus healed the blind man. Therefore, it is likely that there is a direct connection between chapter 9 and 10. There is some continuity. We don't know if that happened exactly at the same moment when Jesus said the last words. In chapter 9, we see your guilt remains, and then right away he turned to everybody and said, truly, truly, I say to you. But it might be that we don't know exactly how long did it take for him to say these words, but there is continuity in what Jesus is saying here and what he said before. And that, it will be very important for us in our understanding of actually chapter 10. Because this is what Jesus is doing as we go through this test. He's addressing the religious leaders again, and addressing the believers, and addressing the issue of some who believe in him as the blind man, who are the sheep that hear his voice and follow him, and some who are the thief and robbers and strangers, and are the religious, who are the religious leaders. So Jesus is not here saying something in a vacuum, like something like a new teaching that I'm gonna let you know right now, but he is actually explaining the response of the religious leaders and the blind man with this metaphor. So think about this. What Jesus is doing here is not just saying a metaphor to point something later that he's going to explain, but he looks back and to what happened and use a metaphor to explain that, and then later he expands on the metaphor to give understanding to them and to us about faith and disbelief, which is clear from what we saw in chapter 9. So the connection between these two chapters are important, chapter 9 and chapter 10. The second thing that it is important for us is to understand the sheepfold of Jesus' time. Jesus is using here a metaphor that will be pretty familiar for people at his time. There were shepherds everywhere, there were sheep all over the place, but we don't have shepherds in our time, or shepherds that shepherd the word of God, but shepherding animals around us, and we don't see the sheep and the sheepfold around us, so therefore it's kind of difficult for us to picture what he had in mind here. It is like, let's say you go back in time, 2,000 years, you travel back in time, which is impossible, but let's say you could do that and you start to talk to people about a worker in a coffee shop. They would say, coffee? Shop? Starbucks? What's that? Or an Uber driver. Driving? Uber? For some of you might be Uber, what's that? Even today. But an Uber driver, cars? Or a salesman in Apple store. Apple? You mean like Produce Johnson? Even Produce Johnson will be selling apples? Yeah, they won't understand the metaphors that we will have for our time, and we will struggle to understand this metaphor. And I will say why. Because shepherds today don't do what shepherds did at that time. Maybe some shepherds might do some similar things in the Middle East, but people who raise sheep in our time do different things. For example, I'm sure you've seen videos of dogs barking the flock and moving them in either some direction, barking them from the back, moving them to one direction. They didn't have that. The shepherd would walk in front of them. Therefore, I think that is helpful for us to understand what Jesus meant by referring to the sheepfold. So a sheepfold will be a structure that will be in a town. Maybe a town will have more than one, I guess, depending how big the town was, that didn't have a roof, but will have a gate. Shepherds will bring the sheep at nighttime after they have been walking with them and feeding them in green pastures and giving them water, and they bring them at nighttime where they will find a gatekeeper, somebody who was possibly hired by a group of shepherds, and they pay him to take care of the sheep during the night. During the day, the shepherds will take care of the sheep. During the night, the shepherds will go to sleep. The sheep will come to the sheepfold, and they will be taken care by the gatekeeper there. And the goal was to protect them from wild animals and to protect them from the thieves and robbers that will come at nighttime to steal the sheep. So you have the shepherds coming to the sheepfold, and you have the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper will know the shepherd. Therefore, he will know in the morning to whom he's going to give the sheep, because he knows the shepherds. Now, an important thing as well is that you will have more than one, two, three, four, I don't know, five shepherds coming to a one sheepfold. And they will bring their sheep, and they will all come in, and they were no mark. There were no little rooms inside the sheepfold, so they will all come together amidst with the sheep from other shepherds. Therefore, in the morning when the shepherd comes and tries to get the sheep out, what he will do is he will call them by name. He have named the sheep, and the sheep will know their names. Well, you can read this in history books or commentaries if you think that that only happens in cartoons. Yeah, that's true. They will come, he will call them by name, and they will come out and follow their shepherd. And if a stranger will come, or another shepherd, and try to call Juan, come, let's use Enrique, I don't want to think. Enrique, come, but the sheep don't recognize him, the sheep will run away, will not come to him. Then again, you have kind of the picture, and then the goal of the gatekeeper is to protect the sheep from wild animals and from the thief and the robbers. When the people of Jesus' time, those who were with him, disciples, maybe the blind man, and the religious leaders heard Jesus saying these things, they could easily picture what he was talking about. They saw it every day. They knew it. It was not a new profession for them to understand. But they didn't understand, the spiritual meaning of this metaphor. And we find this in verse 6. They couldn't understand what he was talking about when he says all these things. And think about that. If you were there, you and I will be in the same situation. We will be struggling to understand what Jesus meant. We can understand this more through reading the rest of the chapter, but we'll leave that for next sermons on this chapter. Also through reading the Gospel of John and through reading the rest of the Bible. But at least I want to help you to see who is who and what is what, and what is the spiritual meaning of what Jesus is talking about here. This takes us to the third point. So, verse 1 says, "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." And who are those who are thieves and robbers? There is why understanding the connection between chapter 10 and chapter 9 is important, because Jesus is speaking about the religious leaders. What did they do? They expel, they cast out a blind man who was healed by the power of God. Therefore, they were no real shepherds. They were no true shepherds. They were thieves and robbers. They have other interests. Their interest was not the care of the people of God. So he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man was a thief and a robber. Those who did not represent God. But he says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And here, Jesus is referring to himself. Later in the following verses, he is going to talk about the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd. And when he comes, he doesn't come through a back door or trying to climb. He comes to the door because the gatekeeper, who is God the Father, will open the door for him. He will recognize him. Now, some commentarians suggest that the sheepfold will be Judaism. And remember that Jesus will say later that he has other sheep of another flock, which means some others who are Gentiles from other religions. So God the Father, who has the authority, recognizes Jesus. He comes, Jesus comes, and therefore welcome him as he comes to get his sheep, the ones that God has appointed to be his sheep. The sheep hear his voice. The blind man heard the voice of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus heard his voice. The Samaritan woman and many others who could hear Jesus and believe. Did the religious leaders hear the voice of Jesus? They hear the audible voice of Jesus, but they did not hear the voice of Jesus in terms of believing. So Jesus calls his sheep, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He have called each one of you who have trusted in him by name, because before the foundation of the world, he have chosen you to be his sheep, to be part of his church, to be his followers, his sons and daughters. Therefore, he can call you by name. Then Jesus, who is the good shepherd, the shepherd brings them out. He says he has brought out all his own. Not some, but all. Not all meaning everybody, but all who are his own. all whom the Father has given to him. He calls and they come. There is a calling which is external, which is the voice of God speaking to us through a messenger of the gospel, through the word of God. And we can hear the voice of Jesus in the call and follow because we hear his voice, because he has called us by name, because he has chosen us to be his own. Jesus, who is the good shepherd, says verse 4, goes before them, and the sheep follow him. He doesn't send the sheep in front of him to face the animals, the wild animals and the dangers of life, but he goes before them. And he goes before them because he's the one who goes to the cross. And on the cross, he gives his life for them. And on the cross, he paid for our ransom. And on his resurrection, he goes before us because he is the first fruits of those who are being saved and will be resurrected. He goes before them. As I was saying, if you think about how shepherds shepherd sheep today, they use the dogs barking behind them, pushing them to go. Jesus is the good shepherd that goes before them. And the sheep follow him. Why? Why do you follow Jesus? Because you know his voice. Because if you come here on Sunday and the word of God is open to you and Jesus' message is declared to you, you know Jesus' voice. You hear Jesus' voice. You hear your shepherd's voice. You know he is calling you by name. You know he is God, your Savior. But it says something also about the strangers. Who are the strangers? Again, in the illustration, are the religious leaders. The strangers, they will not follow. For how long were the religious leaders preaching to the people of Israel? And they were not able to preach as one who had authority. But Jesus comes and everybody recognizes that he preaches as one who has authority. Because he is not a stranger. Because people know his voice. Because he is the good shepherd. But strangers will not follow one who is not a real shepherd. But they will flee from him. You could think about today, some people follow some movements and some false Christian movements. And if they are of God, eventually they come to realize that they are following a stranger and they flee away from him. I know a group of brothers and sisters in Ocean City who were going to a church that was preaching false doctrines. And how did they get out of that place? Eventually, through internet, they find good preaching. They compare by themselves what they were hearing in their church with what they were hearing on internet from faithful preachers, compared with the Word of God. They went back to those pastors. They refused to accept what they were asking them to do, which was just to base their sermons in the Word of God, and eventually they had to leave. They flee away from strangers. They do not know the voice of strangers. And that's what will happen to you, brothers and sisters. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is why you have a Bible in front of you. We all read the Bible together, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we discern if what we are hearing is not God's word, or if it's God's word in itself. So here Jesus explained this metaphor. We understand the spiritual meaning of these parts by looking at the rest of the chapter, by looking at John, by looking at the rest of the scriptures. The people didn't understand it. But when Jesus said these things, he wanted to do a number of things. when he wanted to confront the religious leaders through his words. He wanted them to know that he knew that they were strangers, that they were thieves, that they were robbers. He confronted false teaching. He also wanted to prepare God's people for the thief and the robbers and the strangers, telling them, flee away from them. But I think for us as Christians, there is something beautiful that we find in these words, is that Jesus also wanted to encourage us by telling us a number of things that are important for us as Christians to understand. The first one is that God the Father recognizes Jesus as our shepherd, and he opens the gate for us to go with him into green pastures. There is perfect communion between God the Father and the Son. God the Son sacrificed, satisfied all the requirements for our redemption. Therefore, God the Father opened the gate for us to follow Jesus. Second, Jesus knows you by name. Think about this. When you go through the Gospels are not a message of you have a great speaker with you go to from 5,000 to 10,000 to 11,000 to an stadium. That's not how the gospel records Jesus' ministry. It goes to tell you about these individual conversations that he had with people like you and I. And that's the power, the amazing power of God and Jesus, that he has talked to you if you are a Christian individually, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through a messenger he has spoken to you because he knows you by name. I confess, I don't know many names, and I tend to forget many names. But Jesus doesn't have to go and check in his directory book or his, the software that we use here in the church. He knows you by name. But also, third, we know and hear his voice. How amazing is that? I often ask my small group, have you seen Jesus face to face? And everybody say, no, we have not. Don't you realize that we are here every single week? It's faith that is implanted in our hearts. And we hear his voice and we know for sure that Jesus is speaking to us. That's a miracle. If you believe in Jesus, remember you are recipient of the greatest miracle ever. A spiritual sight, spiritual ears. Fourth, Jesus leads us out of our brokenness to feed us in green pastures. He comes, he takes us out, he took you out from wherever you were, whatever was your life, whatever was the philosophy that you follow, and he takes you to be fed by the Word of God in green pastures. Fifth, Jesus goes before you. He went to the cross before you. He came back from the dead before you. He was raised, and all of this is pointing to what we will experience because he's the first fruits of our redemption. But also you know that Jesus is not those shepherds that will run away when danger comes. He's there for you, always. Six. He goes before you, then you follow him. It is a blessing that you follow Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Think about this. Some of you have been members of our church for many decades, and you still follow Jesus. And we are so easy to change our minds about different things. But you still follow Jesus only because Jesus has done that work in your life. You follow him. And last, we do not know the voice of the strangers and we run away from them. How many strangers are there on internet, everywhere? Philosophies, ideas, people trying to deceive. But you have the assurance that if you trusted Jesus, it's because Jesus has already done that work in your heart. Therefore, you will not be lost. Isn't it encouraging for you to read these words that you have Jesus as your shepherd, that you are his sheep, that you know his voice, that you love him, that you follow him, that he goes before you? That is the message of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you send your only Son, our Lord Jesus, to lead our way to you, to do what we were unable to do, which was to pay for our sins. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did it, that you came, that you emptied yourself, and that you died on the cross, and that you were raised from the dead, and now you are seated at the right hand of God our Father, and from there you are our King. We thank you that we know that we know that you are our good shepherd. Help us, Lord, during this week not to forget this when we face trials of different kinds, that we know that you are our good shepherd, that you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.